Welcome to the Open Pantry Podcast for yet another episode. I hope you are safe and well wherever you're listening from. This is episode 103. I'm talking with Kieran Warwick from the Burger Collective, one of the biggest players in the burger scene in Australia. They represent over 800 locations in Australia, absolutely killing it. Been around for a couple of years. This is a fantastic conversation, and I'm talking to Kieran about how they've changed their business over the last couple of months due to COVID, but also what they're looking forward to and really how they're developing their app and their community. It's a really good conversation. I think you're really going to love it. As always, make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you know when it's coming every single week. Let's get into the show. Welcome to the Open Pantry Podcast for yet another episode. It's fantastic to have you listening along. Thanks for tuning in. Today, we've got the founder of the Burger Collective, Kieran Warwick, I should say. A fantastic platform that really tells you everything you need to know about burgers. And if you know my history, you know how much and how long I was involved in burger space in Australia. So it's fantastic to connect up with Kieran. So, hey, Kieran, how are you?
Good, thanks, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure, my friend, my pleasure. So so let's talk about how you started out, how you started the Burger Collective, like when you started and what gave you the initial idea, because it's such a cool concept.
Yeah, so it's an interesting one. I've always had a passion for food and cooking and the hospitality space. Mm-hmm. And particularly the one food type that grabbed me was burgers. Mm-hmm. I've just been, some reason, there's just something about them that I've been, I guess, addicted to eating them for the last sort of 6 or 7 years. Mm-hmm. And the space in Australia has been growing rapidly for the last, as you would know, for the last 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And it comes from it's come over from the States, really. Yep. Where a lot of these guys in Australia have got that, they've seen what they're doing over there in terms of the burger culture. Mm-hmm. And they've really tried to replicate it over here. And it just took off 3 or 4 years ago. And how I got into it was I was added into a Facebook group very, very early on. And it had, I think, 300, 400 members.
Yep.
And the whole idea of the group was to just review burgers. Mm-hmm. That you'd eat. And I really liked the concept, and it wasn't something that I would typically get into, but because people were making this culture that I talk about, it's very funny. It's sort of pop culture-y. And a lot of these reviews were just grabbing me, and I looked at it and I thought, okay, this is sitting on Facebook, which is good. It's a good platform, but it's not built specifically for this type of thing, this niche.
Yep.
And when I saw that, okay, this group is now not 300 people, it's actually 50,000, 60,000, 70,000. I thought, okay, let's build a better platform and a better system for people to not only review, but start, you know, even ordering and getting these restaurants to start being able to connect with these users or these eaters. Mm-hmm. Easier. Mm-hmm.
So when was this, like what year was this that you actually sort of delved into it and opened it up?
So 2016 is when I really started looking at it seriously and going, okay, is there the potential to build the platform? Mm-hmm. And in early 2017 is when we launched.
Yeah. And how did you sort of start to launch it? Did you just go to, you know, venues one by one and say, hey, this is sort of almost a social media platform that I'm trying to build for the burger community? Like, do you want to be part of it or?
Yeah, so we were lucky enough. I'm not sure if you've heard of them, but the BL Burgers Group, mm-hmm. who they're pioneers in what I'm talking about in bringing that American burger culture over here. Mm-hmm. They probably did it the best early on, and there's a couple of other ones like Royal Stacks and stuff that, yep, that have done it well, and Yo My God in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
But we were lucky enough to build a relationship with these guys early on and just say, okay, you understand that this, that there is a platform that is building,
mm-hmm,
but it's not ideal for you guys. And a lot of the restaurants were jumping on this platform, as this, this Facebook group as well, and advertising on it, but it wasn't obviously ideal. You know, it's just a simple post.
Yep.
There's, and that's it. You know, you just hope that someone sees. And so we were able to sit down with five or six founding restaurants or founding partners, that's what we call them,
mm-hmm,
and really work out, okay, what would you guys ideally like in a system if we were to, if we were to fully build out the tech? You know, what are all the things you want? What are some of the pain points that you have right now?
Mm-hmm.
And then once we started compiling all of that, we just got to work, really, and the rest is history.
So what were a couple of things that those founders were saying to you that they actually wanted that they weren't getting from like other social media applications at the time?
Yeah, so the biggest thing is with the biggest downfall with social media, in my opinion, is that you all of the social medias out there have the function for someone to follow you,
mm-hmm,
right? Or follow your business, follow your restaurant, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of that is they're following you because they want to see what content you have. You know, they've elected to see that content. But the trouble is when like, for example, Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is, whatever platform, Instagram you're talking about,
mm-hmm,
I'm not just following food platform, food restaurants on there, you know, I'm not just following restaurants on there, and I'm not just following, you know, specific burger restaurants on there.
Yep.
I'm following the fashion that I like, the sports that I like, mm-hmm, every little thing. And so, yes, I'm still following that restaurant, but it's the, when that restaurant posts to try and grab my attention and say, hey, here's my new special burger that I want you to come in and try. If posted on those platforms, it's found amongst the clutter of all the other things that I'm following. Mm. And I may or may not actually see that burger. And the fact is I want to see the burger, but you know, I just don't, because mm-hmm, Facebook doesn't serve it to me or Instagram doesn't serve it to me. And so how our system is different is any user who follows a burger restaurant, anytime that restaurant puts out an update, and that might be a special burger that they have, it might be a discount that they're running, any sort of update, you know, menu hours, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They get push notified to all of the people that are following that restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden you're sitting there, it's on a Monday, and I use BL for example, because they've got something like 2,500 followers across the group on our app.
Mm-hmm.
Every Monday, they release a special burger across their four stores. That burger then gets push notified directly to every single person's phone. And they look at it and they go, okay, wow, this is the BL special. They can open it up. They see what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's directly notifying that user. Right? It's the most direct, apart from a text message, it's the most direct way to get the attention of your potential customer.
Yeah.
And so that's the biggest difference between our social media and you know, your Instagrams and whatever.
Yeah. Because the people that would connect, I'd imagine the people who connect with this and download the app and understand it are like diehard burger heads, right? Like they love burgers, right? So
it's kind of fanatical. It's I didn't expect it to be anything like this. There's some of these guys are spending, guys and girls are spending, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours a day on our app. And obviously these are our super users,
mm-hmm,
but it's mind-boggling to me that there are people out there that are as passionate as I am about these burgers and discovering them and finding them and just making the whole experience a little bit better and a little bit more fun while you eat.
Yep.
And yeah, it's pretty crazy to see.
Do you have any understanding as to why, like, the kind of fanatical nature doesn't really happen in another genre as much? Like, you don't, like, you sort of see, like, people who are this excited around desserts, but you don't really see it in pizza. You don't see, like, there's no pasta collective. You know what I mean? Like there isn't this sort of thing. Like, when I go to any kind of sort of new burger opening or whatever and see the guys and girls who are, you know, who are the entrepreneurs in this space who are, like, taking incredible shots and really thinking about how they prep the product before they eat it and all that kind of stuff, like, it's really full on. Like, it's more full on than any cuisine in hospitality. Can you have an understanding into why that is and it hasn't gone into other segments?
Yeah, so I have a few theories, but my main one is that it's a burger is very, very customizable. Mm-hmm. It's gone to a point, and look, I was born in America, right? So it's a bit of it's a contentious point, right? What actually is a burger?
Yep.
But in Australia, for all intents and purposes, a burger is anything between buns. And so what that means it even goes to, like, certain types of buns and it goes even crazier, but let's stick with that. Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing such a crazy amount of things. And obviously, you know, in pasta, there's several types of different pastas out there and there's several different types of pizza out there. But what people are doing with burgers is they're taking, like, other foods and they're sticking it inside a burger. So you can have a pasta burger, you know, the people are putting macaroni and cheese on there. People are putting a pizza burger together or a Parmigiana burger together. And anything that anyone can think of, essentially, they're putting between buns. And when you do that, you're creating a type of food that's exciting and some of these, they're almost like inventions, you know. People are like, what's the next thing that we can invent for the burger? Mm-hmm. And that makes it very viral. It makes people go, wow, did you see they put that in a burger? Or did you see they put 60 patties on that burger and it was the biggest thing I've ever seen? Mm-hmm. It just creates a lot of viral content. Mm-hmm. And it's they take. And the second thing is, I think they are very photogenic as a food type. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very hard to get a ramen looking different each time. So the ramen collective is probably last on our list, but we do have, you know, ideas of there are certain food types out there that do fit this niche, but you're right. It's not every food. Definitely not.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about what's happened since COVID for your business, Kieran. Like, has anything changed very much, or have you guys sort of just doubled down on the content that was happening, or what's been happening?
Yeah, so it was a bit of a tricky one. I mean, it did severely affect us when it actually first hit. Ross and I, my co-founder and I, we were in the States when it happened.
Right.
And essentially, what we were over there doing is we're meeting with one of our partners that we've worked with for our Burger Expo, which I'll explain in a sec. And so for us, we had plans to start moving into the American market. We built out, and that might seem, you know, like, wow, how are you going to do that? That's a little bit crazy. But for us, we built our platform solely on the basis of organic growth, as in to the point where, and where we would ideally like to get to, is essentially it's completely run by the restaurants. You know, they can sign up to it themselves, they can advertise themselves, the platform simply is just there and it runs itself. And so what that means is launching in another market overseas, as long as the restaurants can find the platform and hear about us, so as long as there's enough marketing around it, and that comes with a bunch of, you know, different partnerships and whatever that we're gonna do. But effectively, we don't really need a BDM team. We don't really need, all of the things that a traditional business would need. And the reason is because we started this business on the basis that we're not going to be able to, if in the case that we can't raise, you know, an absurd amount of money because we're in Australia and it's really tough to raise money, we need to be able to stand on our own 2 feet. And we need people saying, hey, I just joined the Burger Collective. You need to join it. And that's the way that we build it up. And so that was obviously put on hold. We had to come back to Australia. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, thinking about going overseas, it's America right now in terms of restaurants is a very similar situation to what's happening in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. If they're open, it's super, super restricted. And so our plans there basically have just been put on hold completely.
Mm-hmm. So that dovetails pretty nicely into my next question. Like, what do you think is going to happen in the burger space over the next 12 months? Because, I mean, this has been a category that has grown exponentially for the last 10 to 12 years. Like, when I joined Grilled in 2008, like, I sort of felt like that was the start, right? Like, you had these burger restaurants who are all of a sudden breaking away from, you know, Hungry Jack's and McDonald's and starting to really care about product. And then it just bloody exploded. And then sort of the next wave was kind of when I started to live in Melbourne about 5 years ago, and I met people like Danny Zini from, you know, from Royal Stacks and DJ Richards from Bull and Canteen, used to be Heroes, and, you know, stuff like that, like, and just got sort of engrossed in that burger community. Like, it's a very resilient pocket, right? Like, what do you think is going to happen over the next 12 months in Australia?
I think we're already seeing it happen now. And the biggest and the most obvious one is that people are moving more to digital ordering. Mm. And what that means is delivery. As we've seen, it's started booming. We're also seeing growth in apps that offer digital menus, ways for people to order literally inside the venue. Mm-hmm. And so everything is going... I think it was going to go this way anyway, which is sort of unfortunate. And I don't really like that we're moving towards such a digital way of eating, I guess, but I think it's just expected like everything else. And so for us as well, we've just signed a partnership with DoorDash we're moving into the delivery space as well. Mm-hmm. And I just think that, it's something that we have had on the cards for a long time, but COVID really, really forced our hand. And we're okay. Yeah, because we sort of got, it was a weird position and almost awkward because our entire business model is about driving foot traffic back into the restaurant. At the time when COVID hit, it was sort of the government sort of sitting there like, don't go into restaurants and work. Like our marketing guys are like, do we tell them to go into the restaurant? Do we not tell them to go? Like, where are we at? Where do we even stand here?
So
delivery was the most obvious option. And that's where we're moving into. And I think that's where most of the industry has got to move into.
Yeah. Do you think... Lucky, are you excited or scared about, you know, that digital change and moving to things like ghost kitchens and maybe taking out the experience and delivery being, you know, 30, 40, 50% of some of these businesses? Like, is that an exciting thing for you to see, or are you a bit concerned about that because people don't have the experience in venue as much anymore?
So yes and no. So I think... for me, I've always been a massive, massive advocate for delivery because I like tech, I like convenience, the ability to order anything at the touch of a button. The no part of me is having 800 restaurant partners out there. We have great relationships with these guys. I love our restaurant partners. You know, we've been supporting them forever, and seeing seeing it move away from them and have and them effectively lose some of the power that they have over their own food and their own restaurant, and it going into the hands of guys like Uber Eats and and you know, some of these other big Deliveroo and stuff like that, that scares me a lot. And so one thing that we're trying to do with delivery is we're not just going to launch and say, okay, we need delivery now because, you know, that's all we can do. We've literally gone in at the lowest rate we possibly can. And it'll seem crazy, but we're actually not trying to make any money out of out of our delivery mechanism. It's just another way for us to simply say, here's an option for you. It's the cheapest one possible. And what we're hoping for from our restaurants is they say, look, screw these Uber guys that are taking, you know, so much profit off us that we can't actually make any money. Let's go with the smaller guy and build them up because we know that they're going to support us. And we're just, you know, we're able to continue trading and navigate through this new digital world.
Do you think, you know, obviously you're saying there you've got, you know, you've got 800 venues as partners. I mean, that's an that's incredible, Kieran. I'd imagine most of those are on the East Coast, and hence why you can do the, you know, you can do the facilitation with DoorDash. The company I'm currently working for is doing the same thing with DoorDash. Like, for you guys to come at a market perspective and go, okay, we've got 800 partners, DoorDash, let's do a good deal because we don't want to fuck over like these partners that we want to make sure they're successful. Do you think that's the way that sort of venues, even outside of burgers, need to think about delivery moving forward? Because I feel that's what's happening in America. Like, it's moving to sort of white label delivery and using providers like DoorDash, and obviously, you know, different providers in the US and UK. But like, it seems like it's going to move away from Uber and Deliveroo, like the big two in Australia, pretty soon. Like, is that what you're sort of feeling as well?
It is. And one of the things that were one of the biggest struggle points that, that people have with these systems is they don't let you own the customer.
Yeah. And 100%.
There's no way to market back to the customer. And so with our system, we've taken that completely out, and we're saying you get full autonomy to be able to market to your followers whenever you want. You know, you can, there's no restrictions on that. And so we're trying to get them to know their customer a little bit more. And we're even toying with the idea of allowing them to market directly to the customer, as in, you know, through email and other sorts of stuff. But it's all about how we can support these guys through this. And the struggle with it, to answer your question about other restaurants going into this, it's all well and good for a burger restaurant now to have an option for a white labeled system where they can get it way cheaper and they can start pumping it up and whatever. But where I worry is the, you know, the Chinese restaurant or the Thai restaurant or whatever, he doesn't have a choice. He's just got to jump on every single platform and he doesn't own the customer. You know, there's no Thai collective or whatever that he can, where he gets his support. And so I worry about them right now, but it's only a matter of time before a big, big player goes, okay, we can't sustain this anymore. We now need to hand over the customer, and it's not a full handover. What I'm talking about is both companies being able to utilize the marketing to the customer. But right now it's just way, way too lopsided, and it has to change.
It's definitely, that's the one thing, it's definitely going to change. I'm glad to see that venues are starting to get control back of their customer. That's been the biggest loss out of, you know, going to big third-party aggregators. So I'm happy to see that. Let's talk about, I would love to know what your craziest burger you've had in a venue is, and why you have a think about that maybe for a second. I So DJ, as I said before, from Bullwing Canteen here in Melbourne, I had a burger with him that he called Try It or Diet in, it was 2018 or it was last year. I think it might have been early last year. And it was basically a massive donut burger, like a Homer-sized donut burger that was about, I'm prefacing it here, like that big. So it was very big.
Yeah.
And it was 5 beef patties.
Jeez.
And 5 bits of bacon, double cheese. But he put jam in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
Hence like the donut sort of theory of it. And I could not get through. And I saw all these people doing challenge. He did a challenge for like 2 weeks. And, you know, obviously he had all the, you know, the food guys and girls like smashing it in like 10 minutes. And I couldn't finish it. And I was there for like 20 and I just couldn't finish it. And I'm not a small boy, Kieran. So like I was like bravado, like I'm going to smash this, man. Like I'm not a professional food eater, but like I'm going to smash it. And it was
But with all those so elements bad, you know? Mixing together.
Oh, yeah. The sweetness of the jam was the thing that killed me, I think, at the end of the day. But anyway, like can you reflect on maybe some of the weirdest or best burgers that you've had?
To be honest, so I get asked this question a lot, right? And like how big and whatever. And I'm pretty traditional in that unless I'm being coaxed into doing something or someone's betting me I can't do something, I'm a very competitive person. Then I tend to stick with just your standard cheeseburger or fried chicken burger or whatever.
Yeah.
Having said that, there was a burger that I got challenged to do in a place called Burger Love, actually. And I like chili, but I'm not a massive fan of chili. And this was just, I walked in and the thing about being partners with all these restaurants is when you walk in, it's like, oh yes, you got to try this, you got to try that. And then a lot of the time you're like, fuck, I just really wanted a cheeseburger. And now I'm eating 4 patty chicken, bacon and
in a donut.
In a donut
on
top of a croissant. And you're like, fuck man, it's breakfast. I can't eat. And so, this was one of those situations. Mm. And Steve, the owner, he was in.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even tell him that I was coming in. I just dropped in and he went, oh, Kieran, we've just put this burger. I forget what he was calling it. It was something ridiculous, like just the Satan's Inferno or something like that. And I make it. There's another problem that you have. You're partnered with them, so you can't actually
deny it.
Not
you
have to finish the burger. Well, you can't deny it. That's the first thing, 100%. But you can't not finish that burger. And I finished it, and I'm not even like I had so much sweat, and it was big as well. So it was just and so in terms of crazy, that was the craziest I've ever done. And on the flight back, it was the worst experience of my life. Like it was actually a good tasting burger, but like I just had no taste buds after it. So yeah, that was probably the craziest I've done. But I've done, so, like you said, the donuts, the jams, the peanut butters.
Mm.
I've been there. I've done it all.
Doesn't surprise me. Sounds like something Steve would do. So I know him quite well. what's happening in the landscape for you guys sort of moving forward? Like what are you planning now that maybe, you know, you were going to go to America, but maybe that's on hold for a little bit, or like what are you planning with the burger?
Yeah, classic? so we're fully committed to Australia now. We're really going to focus on our core, as you touched on, our core is, you know, Sydney, Melbourne, the east coast of Australia, definitely. What is really, really good to see is Perth, Adelaide, Brisbane and Gold Coast are starting to get the craze now. And so for us, it's obviously going to be delivery, but then it's going to be moving into those other cities, even as far as going to, you know, Hobart and stuff like that to really get out there, because we've obviously got a lot of data on what people are, you know, what burgers they're searching for, where they're searching, all that kind of stuff. And Perth particularly is just on fire at the moment. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so that's going to be our main focus. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, just bringing the cheapest, most affordable, valuable delivery solution to restaurants across Australia, to burger restaurants.
Do you have an understanding why, like, Perth and Adelaide and have sort of taken a bit longer? Like, so I'll preface this with, I'm from Adelaide originally.
Do you want my joking answer? Or
and I've lived in Perth for, I lived in Perth for 6 months, right? Running burger venues. So I know what the burger landscape is like in Perth. And Tasmania kind of feels a bit like Melbourne, the couple of times I've gone there in that sort of space. Like it feels like a more localized version of Melbourne. Like if I was going to go to a venue in Brunswick or Yarraville or something like that, that's kind of feels what Tasmania feels like to me. But
yeah, 100%.
Like,
yeah.
Why do you think it's taken a bit of time in Adelaide and Perth to sort of jump on board? Surprising.
I mean, I think it's the influence from overseas, to be honest. I think when you get tons and tons of people coming to Bondi and going to St. Kilda and stuff like that from America and Europe and stuff like that, they're bringing with it this expectation of, oh, this isn't a burger. This isn't, you know, and after a while that slowly starts trickling through. And I purely based on just, there's more people from overseas that are coming into Sydney and Melbourne that can pass on that influence of what is a really good tasting burger. Because if you go back 5-6 years ago and you ask 9 out of 10 Australians, they're going to hit you up and say beetroot, tomato, and just the burger, which is just not what we consider a gourmet burger anymore. Mm-hmm. I just put it down to that, and the fact that they're 10 years behind with everything.
And the fact that WA pretty much wants to be its own country. So I think
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. That's good to see. The last question before I let you go, Kieran, as I've been asking every guest the last couple of months, is what are you looking forward to doing again that you were doing pre-COVID that you can't do now?
Running your expos.
Yeah, cool.
Just hands down running your expos. Mm-hmm. I feel like they got ripped from me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I was playing with my toy in the playground and someone has come and taken it and I'm like, I want my toy back.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, right? Because our first event, we had 7,000-8,000 people there. Mm-hmm. We didn't really build it up to be such a big thing and it turned into something huge. And we just want to share that experience. Like, we haven't even been to Melbourne with one of our expos.
Right.
We want to bring it to Queensland. We want to bring it to WA. And so that, and they're just super exciting events to run. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's what I'm looking forward to the most. But even, it's not even a post like, okay, we've got a vaccine and COVID's, it's more than that, because I think after things settle down and this thing starts going away, I think people are going to be a lot more wary of, 10,000 sized events.
Yeah.
And that sort of
thing. Yeah. It's going to be a whole lot different. I think I've spoken to a couple of people in events the last couple of months and they're obviously super optimistic, but I think the curation of events and the experience around them is going to be a whole lot different. And I think we'll breed a whole lot of more innovation, right? But it'll be an exciting 100%. Time. Yeah. Kieran, thanks so much for joining me on today's podcast, man. Like, how can people find out more about the Burger Collective and about yourself?
So jump onto our website and you can you'll find all our download links there. Mm-hmm. We're on the App Store, Android Store. Mm-hmm. Haven't reached Windows yet, but we'll get there. really encourage people, if you want to find the best burger, there's thousands and thousands of people on there that are posting exactly where to find a burger, and you never know, it literally could be around the corner in a corner in a tiny little door space, and they could be selling the best burgers in the world. You just never know.
Absolutely. Just got to try different things. As always, linked up in the show notes so people can check you out. Kieran from Burger Collective, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks again, Sean. Cheers.
Thanks so much for Kieran for joining in with that podcast. I hope you really got something out of that and saw the burger landscape changing over the next year. It's going to be really, really exciting. As always, if there's someone you think I should be talking to, make sure you drop me a line, sean@openpantryco.com. Otherwise, just leave me a message. If you go into the show notes here, you'll be able to see where you can have a chat, reach out to me really simply. If you enjoy this podcast, please make sure you share it with people inside the industry. The feedback I always get is valuable and I love it, so make sure you keep it coming. Until next time, stay safe. Talk to you soon.